Welcome to Seize the GM. I'm your host, Zendad.
I'm your co-host, Jules.
And I'm Null Operations.
Have you ever had a great idea for a campaign? Do you have a bunch of friends who want to play an RPG but have no one to run it?
Do you want to see what the world is like behind the GM screen instead of in front of it? Well, we're here to help you do just that.
Each week, the three of us will be discussing various GMing topics. Terminology, maps, atmosphere, world building, you name it. So sit back and relax, and let us help you improve your art of GMing, one show at a time. Hey, folks, welcome back to another episode. And today we have an awesome guest, Ed from over at Scabbard, which is a campaign management kind of software web-based thing. So welcome.
Thanks, Derek.
So, okay, before we get going here, can you give us a little bit of a rundown of what Scabbard is for?
Yeah, so Scabbard is for managing an RPG campaign online. Basically, like, you can enter your characters or groups, you know, like guilds, places, items. You can even add GM notes and organize things with folders. Basically, like, everything you need to just sort of keep track of your campaign, sort of like replacing the binders and scattered pieces of paper that everybody has, you know, hauling around with them everywhere.
So like, you can just call your laptop.
Yeah, basically anywhere that you have internet connection on any device, you can use Scabbard.
That is awesome, because I am always trying to find ways to make it a little easier to not have to drag yet another book along with me.
Right. Unfortunately, this means I'm going to have to get a network extender for the basement.
Yeah.
Worth it. Worth it.
Okay. Well, that is really cool, because I've actually gotten a chance to play with this, and I started putting in my War of the Five Cities in the Underdark campaign using it. And it has been, let's just say, indispensable. Trying to track five cities and all of the conflict that's occurring within it. Yeah, it has probably been one of the most useful items I've had for my game.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the great selling points about it is not just like the pages that you add, like the cities and the countries and the characters, but the connections between them are like a huge selling point, I think, for Scabbard. Because like, if you have two characters and one is like the father of the other, you just create a father of connection between them. And the cool thing is, like, unlike a wiki, you know, where you'd have to like have a link on both pages, because everything's done with like a graph database, you only need to enter it once and it'll show the connection on both pages.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, I did play with that, because like, I created like a ruler, and like, I started filling in like her family and stuff, and it was just like, this is the son of, daughter of. Yeah.
You know, I'll be honest, it works better than half of that ancestry software you deal with. This is easier to use. That thing, oh God. GUI is not. It's slick, it's easy. You know, it's like, wow, whoever designed this actually knew what the hell they were doing. It's great.
Well, thank you.
Sorry. Yes, I'm bitter.
Yeah.
Yeah. The one thing I noticed, and I got to ask if this was intentional, it doesn't seem to be built game specific. It's not like D&D, and then it kind of like, well, you can mod it for this. If it's like, I could put a Deadlands thing in there just as easily as I put Shadowrun or all right, D&D or even Little Fears. I mean,
Yeah, that was a design. Yeah, that was a deliberate design decision.
Yes, awesome.
To make it rules neutral, because there are so many, you know, fantasy and sci-fi, you know, and all kinds of other role-playing games. And basically, I didn't want to tie myself to like one particular rule set. And that's why you won't see things like, oh, what's your level or your experience points for a particular character. But we do have you can also, there's a stats tab. I don't know if you guys have seen that.
No, that's
one of the hero features.
In the advanced features that you pay for.
Yeah, you can enter like your ability scores, your level, you know, all kinds of things with the stats tab. Or you can even upload a character sheet directly by like as an image.
Oh, cool.
Ooh, so if you've got like an export from Hero Lab of like everybody's character sheet, you could put all that in one spot. So one, you're never without everyone's character sheet because they're going to leave it at home. They're going to drive it out and you know how it happens.
Exactly.
Oh, that's going to be slick. So if any other like chummer or anything else, going to be. Dude, that's amazing.
This is one of the reasons why I started playing with this was because of the true system neutrality of everything. It was just like, I can just make it all up.
Use your own rules if you want.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, yeah.
It's super easy to put all of that in, which because it's just a web page and you just type what you want to put in there and it just propagates it. So you don't even have to think about it. Now,
thing is also web, you know, it works in anybody's browser, which is so, you know, I could be using it. That's the thing is like, I don't have to have my PC or my laptop or a tablet. I could have it on my Chromebook, anything that has a browser. It is, sorry. I'm just rolling my eyes and like, I wish this was here before.
Oh, yeah. I'm glad you like it. Yeah. Cause. Actually, I forgot what I was going to say.
It's okay. Hey.
So here's a question for you. What is your, out of all of the, like the base features, the ones that are free, which one are those is your favorite thing to that you have in it?
Well, I mean, I think again, the connections is actually, the best feature. And to my knowledge, nobody else has something like this.
Okay.
That I've seen.
Like, sure, you can add a link, you know, but, you know, this feature is because we use a graph database instead of just a regular like SQL database, mm-hmm. it allows us to do things like this very powerfully. And the other thing is, I don't know if you noticed, but if you reference another page in your campaign, in the description, it'll automatically link to that page.
Oh, yeah. No. I think it.
Have you seen that?
I missed that.
I think I did see
that. You have to get the name exactly the same or it won't show up.
That's usually standard in database reference queries kind of thing. But, you know, capital letter is not the same as a lowercase.
Yeah.
Bite me, Linux.
Yeah. So, yeah, like, So like if you're writing a description and you mention like, oh, you know, such and such person like kidnapped their brother or whatever, it'll show, provided that page exists in your campaign, it'll auto link to it. So you don't need to think about it.
That is cool. Yeah.
Nice.
No.
I guess because I haven't really populated fully on all that, you know, like I said, I'm scattershot. But that's the one thing, especially I'm ADD. So I'll come up with stuff and then I'll reference something else. But if I put it in there, it can start automatically tying all my stuff together.
Yeah.
Because I might be starting on the Queens.
It starts making all of the web connections that, like for a realistic integration of a population that you would have. Yeah. It starts propagating all of them. It seems like. across.
Yeah, and, you know, and it's location. Like, who is cursed by who, which is even funnier because the way I'm thinking is like, you know, this is the king, and then he was cursed by this, and his wife is cursed by this, and you can actually start the interconnectivity of like, ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sort of gets into like another hero feature we have, which is called advanced connections, where like normally, like let's say relatives, right? You can enter, you know, father, you can enter the mother, you can enter children, but it doesn't, you can't enter grandfather or uncle, because we try to keep the database consistent.
Sure.
And if you mm-hmm. think about it for a while, you know, like you could easily, if you allowed arbitrary connections like that, it could easily get inconsistent. But with the advanced connections, you can actually click on the query relatives link and it'll show like, I think it goes four edges away or something. So you'll see like your uncles, your brother-in-laws, and it'll show all that in that page.
Oh, that is so cool.
So it's like you, it's like, okay, you have like the nuclear family, and the nuclear family connections, and then you have the extended family, but it's not part of the, pretty much it's almost like a separate referential database that ties into it, but it's not all in one where it mucks it all up.
Yeah, like this is where the decision to use a graph database is really like you could not do this with using a regular database.
Oh, I know.
You would have to have like a three or four, you know, joins, which mm-hmm. are like really expensive operations. Hold on, my screen just went dark.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Make sure you wiggle your mouse.
Yeah, I moved my mouse. Can you guys still hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You're fine, hon.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
God, my Baltimore's coming out.
The other thing about the connections, I think that are, I don't really talk about it too much on the pages, but you can like let's say you're trying to come up with an adventure, right? And you have all this data on your database, and you see all these connections that you forgot that you entered. Like ideas just pop out at you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like I forgot that, you know, Joe was the enemy of Sam and, you know, an ally of Fred, right? And then you just like an idea for an adventure just pops into your head.
Yeah.
Oh, the thing is like, Zen, remember when we were talking about the, you know, running a campaign and remember it was the actions have consequences thing. You could actually per encounter.
Yeah.
So say they meet like a traveling merchant, but they don't know the traveling merchant is super powerful in a city. You can actually in real time put in new connections and then update them depending on the encounter.
Yeah. Yeah. It is a really slick way of managing your campaigns and for the long term, not just I need to, because I'm a huge fan of world building, so I spend a lot of time front loading all of this. And
ooh.
So when I come into it, I'm not having to world build as I'm trying to tell the stories. So I can be literally on the fly as people are having interactions with things, adding them. And it's starting to auto-populate everything that I need.
Mm-hmm.
So
that but it is works really for cool. somebody like me too.
Yeah.
You know, because I am not the front loader world builder. I get a light framework and then I let the players kind of dictate what's in the world. So I can, as they're doing things, I can add stuff and it starts to, in real time, sort of, because I can't type that fast, but it starts to auto-populate the world like much more down to a much more detailed level. So it's like, wow, they pissed off this go ganger thing and they made allies with this street doc and da 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 as the campaign. But the thing is, I didn't make like, I might not have thought to put a street doc in there, but you know, somebody got hurt because they crashed a car and they have to go to a street doc and they treat them really nice and help them out. I'm like, ooh, new character, da, da, da. You know, new NPC. And it's like, it's wonderful because since I don't front load it, I got a basic idea and a general story, but this puts a lot more meat in real time. And I also have to worry about forgetting it because since I don't front load it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I actually have an article that kind of talks about that sort of world building technique. I call it just in time world building, where you basically like,
yeah,
you,
that works.
You guys, you're probably familiar with just-in-time manufacturing, that idea. So it's kind of like that, where you just detail like a few things near where the PCs are. And then like, based on what you hear them say they're going to do next, you just sort of like detail
that next part
a little bit further around them. Yep. And so that way you don't have to like front load and make this gigantic world that chances are they're not going to ever see 90% of it. Right.
Yeah.
And that sort of ties in like a lot of things that one of the things I noticed, I did this survey once of like what of people who sort of churned out of Scabbard, and I was trying to figure out why. And a huge percentage of them just didn't have any ideas of what to put in their campaign. So one of the most prominent like menu items is inspiration. Oh, I don't know if you noticed that, but there's articles, there's like help pages and like, and external resources to give you ideas of like how to make your adventure.
Yeah. There's some really slick, like I've played around with a lot of stuff over on the site and everything, because it's just, you never know where you're going to, because I'm a huge fan of, you know, drawing inspiration from everything around me, because I'm constantly doing either a project for this, or I'm working on a game, or, you know, so I'm actually like, I think at present I'm currently attempting to world build at least two unique worlds at the same time. So it gets, you have to start drawing a lot of inspiration from a lot of places if you want each of them to stand on their own. And so, yeah, pulling inspiration from everywhere is like the biggest key that I can ever. So anytime anybody offers like, here's an inspiration thing, I'm like on it, checking it out.
Gimme. Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. Sometimes I don't know if you've heard of story dice. You can buy them at Amazon.
Yeah.
No.
Or probably your local game stores. You just roll them and all they have is like pictograms on them. And then you just try to like force yourself to use what you roll to make up like a mini adventure. And then it can tie in and just like expand into like major story arcs. If
the players will pick up on it. Yeah.
Yeah. If the players pick up on it. Exactly.
Yep. So
usually me, it's the Zippy, give me some words. That's pretty much it.
Yeah.
So it's like I tag team. So it's one of those, you know, we bebop off each other. And he's crazy. So it's funny.
Yeah. That reminds me, because yes. I used to tell stories to my girls at bedtime when they were little, and I would like say, okay, each of them would give me one word. Or two words each, and then I would make these fantastical stories out of them, and so it's kind of the same.
Yeah.
Aw. So, okay, that's gosh darn it, that's so cool, and really adorable too. In a way.
Well, I've already started grooming my daughter to be a GM, because we do sort of the same thing, except we do things back and forth, like. I'll be like, okay, give me, what do you want to start with? And she'll start, and then I'll bounce something, and then she'll bounce something back to me. And we do this back and forth, telling a story at bedtime.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah. We went camping with my extended family on my side, and we sat around the campfire. You know, each person would spend like 20 seconds making up part of the story.
Yeah.
And then my nephew would always end with like, and then she woke up and it was all a dream. I was like, why did you have to ruin it?
It's like, or it's the, yes, the rocks fall, everybody dies ending, right?
Yep.
Yeah. It's like, okay, come on.
Yeah. You got to come up with something better than that.
If you don't mind, I actually have a question, is like in designing Scabbard, what was your first, what made you want to design it? And design it as a open system, non-rules basic. I mean, because there were other tools out there. I mean, was there an emphasis of frustration? It's like, you know, table flip, to heck with this. I'm going to make it my own. I'm taking my ball and, you know, building my own basketball court.
Yeah, I mean, I did do some research on what was out there. And basically, like, I back in the, what was it, late 90s, my brother put together a website for one of his campaigns, and it was all like hand coded with, what was that Microsoft tool for making websites? I forgot.
Yeah.
Front page?
Yes.
Yeah. And it was all a lot of hand editing and everything. And so I tried making one for my campaign and realized, you know what, this is like ridiculous hand editing all this stuff. Mm-hmm. So I realized that basically I made it for myself. And then I what happened is, I put it on the web and it had a really slow start. But I just kept at it and more people started using it. And basically what I did is I listened to what people wanted me to add. And for the most part, that's where the features come from. It's what people request. Oh, wow. I do push back a little bit because, you know, some people I push back a lot.
Because some people will come up with some crazy things.
I mean, yeah, there's some crazy requests out there. But the thing is, like, one thing that I really try to do is, like, a guiding principle is a simple interface.
That I noticed.
Really, really simple, you know, like I've seen other products where it's like, oh, well, we're going to let you, like, you know, hand edit CSS to completely style your page any which way you want. And then you look at their bug page and it's like nobody knows how to use CSS.
Yeah.
It's like you're giving ordinary people. Simple. Yeah. You're giving ordinary users the powers of like a programmer. And of course it's not going to work out.
Oh, God,
so
yeah.
I just try to keep things simple, you know, and I've actually killed features either because they were too complicated or because no one was using them. So I just kill it.
That's the one thing I've noticed is, and oh God, my computer background, that and kerning, I see like, oh my gosh, but it's so, I like it because it's the KISS principle. Keep it simple, stupid. So pretty much it's not for somebody that's new and they're just as a new GM and they're looking for new tools. You don't want something that's going to be everything all in your face all at once. This is simple. And then you can start using different parts of it. First, you can just have your basic, okay, these are my good guys, these are my bad guys. And then they start discovering features and you learn it and grow on it organically.
Right, right.
Which is amazing. I mean, it's you discover different tools inside Scabbard at your own pace, you know, rather than like, you've seen it. It's like so much in your face and it's so overwhelming. And they're like, I'm going to keep my notebook and all my papers and wheel around a bag because it's so heavy.
Do you know what?
Right.
I actually had that problem because I had tried lots of these other ones that were out there. And every time it was just like, there is way too many chances for me to mess all of this up trying to put it in here. So I'm just going to stay with my notebook.
Yeah. And it's also, where do I put it? The way that this is done, it's, you don't have to worry. It's like, should I put it on this page or should I put it over here?
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about that because like I said, if you're a new GM, you want to have as many tools in your bag, but the thing is like, you don't want to be intimidated. It's like, oh gosh, if I have to learn all that and you're already trying to master the system, you don't need to master a web portal either. This is, And like I said, it's the computer geek in me, and my thing with playing around with it was, oh my gosh, and I showed this to my husband, and I'm like, Zippy, you could use this. He's a Luddite, you know.
Still
he breaks
paper.
It, I fix it. You know, he's decent, but he's looking at this and he starts playing, and then he starts playing around with some of the other features. But he found them when he was just like, okay, now I want to do.
Yeah.
As he was growing, so was it. And I was just, and I'm just watching it and I'm just like, oh, this is delightful.
Yeah. That was actually one of the big things is that you start to discover exactly what you need very organically without having tons and tons of like, well, I don't know how to use, you know, this. I don't understand how wikis work because I'm a Luddite for the most part. And so I'm like, I don't want to sit here and learn how to do that. Instead, I just want to be able to, you know, write stuff down and it shows up where I need it to.
Yeah. You just write what you want and you save it and it's there.
And, mm-hmm. and it's so good for that.
You know, it's like, I mean, did you design it because of just like, I guess it's best way to describe it, feature creep of almost everything else. It's the, you know, it's like everything else is heavy on features. I want something that grows.
Yeah. The thing is like, I actually, there's a couple products that like just have tons and tons of features and I just don't understand why they built them. For example, there's one product that has like, you can design your own campaign calendar complete with like moon cycles and all this other stuff. And I don't know about you guys, but like whenever I play, or I've seen anybody else play, calendars just never come up.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, what? Oh, yeah. It's 10/13, you know. Oh, and
I've had it twice.
It just never comes up that, oh, there's 10 days in the week and like there's two moons. Like that just never comes up.
Yeah.
So why waste time implementing a feature that only a handful of people are ever going to use? So what I did instead is I said, okay, let's, for the people who do have campaign dates, I'll just have a very simple, I don't know if you've seen the dates feature yet, but on every page you can enter like, oh, when was this character born? And if they died, when did they die?
Oh, yeah, for the chronology?
Yes, it's just
numbers. It's just numbers. It's month, year, and day of the month. And then that feeds into the timeline. Have you seen the timeline?
Yes.
Yeah, I noticed that instead of an almanac, it's chronology. And I think most people want the chronology, not like the farmer's freaking almanac. At least some people might want to do that because they enjoy it. Cool. Awesome. But, you know, most people want, he's like, hey, this guy was born 20 years ago on this date. And it was a full moon and a dragon attack that day. You know, that's about it.
Right.
So here's another thing. Now you have all of these cool little, you know, elements to Scabbard. What is your favorite like trick that exists in it that most people don't know about?
What's my favorite trick?
Yeah. Like, is there anything that's like a little thing that you've got in there that most people almost never find?
That's a good question. Let me go there and see if
hey, that's
if something comes to mind. Let me see if something comes to mind.
Yeah, the campaign audit.
Have you seen the campaign audit? Oh, you guys don't have heroes, right?
No,
you don't have hero features. No. Yeah, so my brother uses this feature a lot because a lot of times people will they'll make a bunch of characters and places, but they're not very detailed, and then they forgot about them because they have hundreds of pages, and they forgot like, oh, did I enter an image for that page, or did I enter like a brief summary?
Okay, yeah.
And the campaign audit is basically a way of like seeing all your pages in a tabular format, and it'll tell you what's missing, and it'll tell you the score of each page, and it'll tell you, like, if you go to the pricing page, like you could go right now if you have it open, and you click on the campaign audit. I don't know if you can see that, but it shows like your score, how many connections each page has, and like what's missing from your page. So if you want to have like a lot of people try to maximize their score because they want to be higher in the list. So that's one way of making sure that everything's filled out.
I'm an auditor. I do audits. That's part for in the real world. And I actually like doing it because I like, okay, I want everything to match up. I have this kind of weird kind of almost OCD thing. Oh God, how did I miss this? This is going to be awesome.
Yeah, that is
cool. Did you find the screenshot?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is
great. Oh my gosh. That is awesome. Whoa.
Yeah, because I need something like that because I am constantly like, oh, I've got this awesome thing that I'm doing. And I'll just be I'll start working on something. And then all of a sudden it's like.
Your daughter comes in and then you, what was it working on?
Yeah. Yeah. I'll be like, oh, crap. I did that. Where the hell was
I never looked at the pricing thing. I don't know why. But.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a relatively newly edited page.
Yeah.
I recently shipped the redesign version of the site.
Zen, remember when we were talking the co-GMing thingy?
Yep.
They have a thing for assistant GMs.
Yeah, I know. Dude. I saw that. Yeah.
Oh.
This is one of the reasons.
Sorry.
There's all like the secret pages are really awesome.
Mm-hmm.
This was something that I was like, well, maybe I could put it in the pictures. I'll put the maps in the picture section. Because, you know, until you pay for it, you don't have access to being able to load maps and place maps and everything.
Yeah.
But I mean, for the price point, I kept talking to my wife. I'm like, it's $30 and I would totally use it all the time.
Christmas?
And well, Christmas. She was talking about it and she goes, well, yeah, why don't you just go ahead and get it? I'm like, I will. But you know what? I'm going to have the interview, and then when I'm done with the interview, I'm probably just going to go buy it anyway because, you know, I already have like these uses for things, and I'm like, I need to use them. She's just like, yeah, just go do it. It's not that big of a deal.
Well, if you want,
she had the eye roll.
You can use the 30% discount we talked about before the show,
which he's totally giving us, which is awesome.
Nice.
So, yeah.
Oh, and here's the thing that I said originally when I first found this, I checked the pricing page and I never went back because I'm just like, you know what? I'm going to wait until after Christmas because I have to start saving now. But the thing is like, you updated it since the since I went to see it. I'm like, on one, the screenshots are very helpful because they show you exactly what kind of thing you get. But the one thing I like is when it says I love it. You call it the critical miss guarantee. If you're unhappy, we offer a full refund within 30 days. One, that is probably the coolest term for, you know, hey, try this out. If you don't like it within a month. No, but the critical miss guarantee that.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Thank you. That just kind of like also makes all gamer geeks feel kind of warm and fuzzy inside. It's like that you stand behind it. It's not like. You know, okay, yeah, buy it and then you're stuck.
And then you're stuck if you don't like it.
Yeah. You went the anti-Steam route before Steam decided to update itself.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. But oh my gosh, it's like adding and editing a category. It's like things that I completely missed on my first thing through and I feel like a dork for.
The maps one, because I love maps. I was just like, I have to find a way to use these maps. And then I'm like. And then I looked and I'm like, oh, if I pay for it, I can get the maps. I need to do that.
Yeah. Mine was.
So you can't make your maps. You can just like upload. Yeah. You guys understand that, right?
Oh, yeah, totally. But it's, no, for me though, since my handwriting is absolute garbage, I can enable stuff so my players can look.
Yeah.
You know, so that, and the players don't have to have a subscription. Which is,
that's right.
You know, but the thing is like, but that's also a way for them to be introduced into the tool. They can start playing with it. And, you know, that is something that I think I have never seen in any other resources where a GM has the stuff the players can interact with what the GM has, at least what they allow it. And that's, I've never seen that anywhere else. Actually, what inspired enabling that?
I don't know if you guys, what was the question?
I'm curious because I've never seen another tool have that, but what inspired you allowing to like, you know, we're going to have your GM thing. It's like, and here's, hey, players, you can look at this stuff. I've never seen that. What was that inspiration? Was it a suggestion or something?
I actually don't recall. I mean, I just, like, I don't know if you guys know, but like if you have a player subscription, right, you can edit your own character, right? Like the GM can assign you as the player of that character, mm-hmm. and then you can edit that character, even though, you know, you don't have a hero subscription.
Oh, wow.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and a lot of people do that.
Oh, that's so cool.
I like that.
But I don't know. I actually don't know what inspired me for that. I mean, I don't remember.
Yeah, I was going to say
It's brilliant.
I think the closest thing to that is RealmWorks allows you to do that. But they just recently launched their thing. Like, I think at Gen Con last year is when they first initially launched it. And I know this has been around longer than that.
I think mm-hmm. it has, yeah, because when I was, I think RealmWorks came after Scabbard.
Because I remember finding Scabbard. I mean, I had the link like for the longest time, and I'm like, I need to play with this way more than I am. Because
yeah. you sent me the info on this. I am very new to it because, well, I didn't know about it until Zen told me, and then I'm like, ooh, and this is awesome. And, you know, as I start playing with it, then the holidays kick in and everyone gets caught up in holiday stuff. So I'm like, all right, we'll play with this later. You know?
Yeah.
And one of my friends is after school craziness stuff. But the one thing is, I'm looking at this and one of the neat things that I'm seeing is it works very well. Narrative heavy versus dice chuck heavy.
Yes. Actually, if you look at like the, what do they call it? The benefits page.
Mm-hmm.
Basically I talk about like, if you go to the homepage and look at like bring your RPG campaign to life and turn your players into the type that cares about your world.
Yeah,
not just leveling up, right? And if you click on that link, it tells a story of how, like, when I was a kid playing with my brother and my friends, and how one of my friends was so enthralled, like he would come an hour early just to like ask my brother all these questions. Oh, like, who's in charge of the kingdom, and like, what are the, you know, he got totally into it because my brother like had all this detail, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's not, whereas a lot of DMs are more like, you know, okay, here's a town and here's a dungeon.
Yeah.
Right. Which, you know, a lot of people like to play like that and that's fine. But I think that a world can be so much more than that.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's how you start and then you just keep expanding it and turn it into more of a story-based campaign. Like the way I like to play is I don't know if you know who John Four is, but he's a guy who has his own like email subscription list and he gives GM advice. And one thing he has is like he has this thing called a 5-room dungeon.
Yes.
Where you have just a really small dungeon that has just like maybe 5 rooms, but then it's tied in with the story. And I think it's important that it be a small dungeon because then it's easier to tie in than like a 20 level dungeon. Like, well, okay, you have a 20 level dungeon with 1,000 rooms. Why is it here?
Yeah.
Right. Like it doesn't make sense story wise.
Yeah.
Whereas like you can explain, oh, well, this is like the wizard's, you know, magical laboratory behind the waterfall. And it's like relatively small.
Yeah.
Like he doesn't have time to dig 20 levels, right? He doesn't have time to dig 20 levels of dungeon.
Mm-hmm.
So like I like to have little, like a bunch of them though, and they're tied to the story. Like you go here and you get the widget and then you go there and then you destroy the widget or whatever, or you find out some piece of news. And I think Scabbard like really fits in well with the story based versus like crunch based.
Almost robotic module, you know?
Right.
I guess that's the best way to put it. You know, not you're running someone else's story versus, you know, your own kind of, it might be in someone else's world, but it's kind of your adventure.
Yeah.
Right.
That is so,
you know,
cool.
It's like, it's brilliant. It's
so,
I know, but I just like it just for me. It's the fact that the complexity evolves as you do stuff. It's so organic. I love that. I've never seen anything like it.
Yeah. So, Jules, I know you had asked Ed earlier on a very specific question about an update possibility that could come about if he were going to do it. And I know I'm being super, super descriptive here because I want you to ask that question because it's a good question.
Yeah. All right. The thing is, like I said, I already know that I'm learning disabled, and you know, as things come out, like they found out for dyslexics, there's new font types and that actually help with dyslexia and stuff like that. You know, weird kind of user interface additions that might, you know, I don't know what the possibility of something like that is, but one is that, would that be something that would be possible? And, you know, if not, you know, is there, you know, or something you'd be interesting in, you know, like as...
My understanding is... Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess my understanding of how browsers work for learning disabled, and maybe I'm wrong about this, is that you can override in your browser settings what fonts to use.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know that like people who have, I wrote an app for my grandmother to help her read her email, like Aww. In really, really large fonts. And so I learned a lot about like, I forgot the term.
overwriting the default browser and web page settings that are built in.
Yeah, you can do that with your preferences on most browsers.
Nice.
You can do that already.
I know certain websites don't allow that. So this one, your website. Wow.
I actually haven't tested it, to be honest. I haven't tested whether you can override those things, but I, you know, I probably should do that at some point.
That's really
just bar Comic Sans for crying. Oh, Comic Sans.
Well, I'm not using Comic Sans.
No, you're not.
Am I using Comic Sans?
No. It's just like, hey, could you write it so it will forever block Comic Sans, so no one could ever use that despicable font.
Yeah,
ones that have kerning issue drive me bananas.
What about Papyrus?
Yeah,
that's not too horrible because I've used it in crafting projects.
Yeah, I actually started with Papyrus, and like everyone was telling me, oh, that looks so 90s.
Yep.
And I was like,
yes.
I was like, okay, fine. I'll find some other font.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, me, it's Courier New to keep like uniform distance, Times New Roman and Arial.
Yes,
yeah, I should actually test whether you can do that.
Because that'd actually be interesting.
Accessibility is the term.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Accessibility is a generic term for like helping people with various disabilities like use a computer.
Yeah. Okay.
That'd be awesome.
You know, we've been going for about 45 minutes here. So I think we're going to hit you with our last question. And that is... Okay. What is your class and level?
What is my class and level?
Yes.
With my main character that I play?
You.
For you.
Me personally?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I guess I'm a wizard because I kind of feel like programmers are like modern day wizards. And I guess I'm...
Act the world, baby.
Fifth or sixth level, maybe. I don't know.
Fifth or sixth level. Awesome.
I like it.
Awesome.
So I can cast Fireball, you know.
The important ones. Yeah.
Right.
All right.
I'm going to hide.
I'm going to hide. Okay.
Yeah, please don't light my stuff on fire.
Cool. And I just wanted to mention also, we touched on it earlier, that I am offering a 30% discount for listeners of this podcast.
Yes.
So hopefully you can provide the link, you know, below the link.
It is going to be in the very top of our show notes.
Right at the top of the doobly-doo?
Yep. Yay! The top of the doobly-doo. As she so eloquently referred to it the first time.
That was the first episode. It just stuck.
It did. So where can people reach out if they wanted to get in contact with you?
Yeah. So the easiest way is on the Scabbard RPG Campaign Manager Facebook page. It's Scabbard with 1B. Just go to Facebook and search Scabbard RPG and it should come right up.
Okay.
And typically, like, it's best, I'm most responsive if you just message the page directly with Messenger. You just click the message button, and I usually respond fairly quickly.
Okay.
Unlike some other programs, we've tried to email for troubleshooting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
4 months later, still nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah. People, I've gotten some feedback that I have good customer support. So.
Yeah. Okay.
Not to brag or anything, but.
No, but the thing is, like, it's like you've known the hell, so you try and give people a little slice of heaven when it comes to customer service. And I thank you for it so much.
Yeah. All right. Well, it has been awesome having you on, Ed.
Honor and a privilege, sir.
Yeah, thanks, Derek and Jules. I really appreciate the time to talk to you.
Yeah, and hopefully we get some people in here getting a hold of that, the hero level, because there is a lot of really cool things in there. So I'm going to, as soon as we're done here, I'm probably going to go buy it.
So here's the thing, though. After you guys have actually, you know, mucked around with Scabbard, go into our Facebook page and tell us what you think. What do you want to use it for? Is it giving you inspiration for new campaigns? And, you know, and we'll, you know, let us see what kind of really unique and interesting and probably dangerous worlds we're going to come up with.
Yeah,
you know,
definitely. So, you know. Well, I think we're going to go ahead and wrap this up, and we will see you guys next week.
Y'all take care.
Thanks, everybody.
You can contact us or the show by using Twitter, Facebook, or regular old email. Our Twitter accounts are at Zended,
at Jules Podcaster,
and at No Operations.
And the show's Twitter account is at SeizeTheGM.
And you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/SeizeTheGM.
You can email questions or comments to the show at admin@SeizeTheGM.com.
You can email me at zended@SeizeTheGM.com.
Me at jules@SeizeTheGM.com.
And me at nulloperations@SeizeTheGM.com.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of Seize the GM. Feel free to leave a comment about this episode on our webpage, www.seizethegm.com. Let the dice fall where they may, and we'll see you again next week.
Seize the GM is released under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, Share-Alike 4.0 International License. All copyrighted materials referenced herein are held by the respective owners. No infringement is intended, and no claim of ownership is implied.
The music for the show is Dreaming Spirit, off of the album Ghost Machine, by The Enigma TNG. His music is released under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives 3.0 Unported License.